Bridgeport comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
We've been talking about vision and creativity and ideas, and we've been talking about thinking about the possibility of instituting ferry systems throughout the Long Island Sound, either for tourism in an intrastate way or as a combination of that with considering some high speed for making commuting easier and taking some of those cars off the road. And let's not forget that a lot of our commuting now is between Stamford and Bridgeport, or Bridgeport and New Haven, or New Haven and Stamford. Many, many people are no longer commuting to New York City, but they are commuting throughout Fairfield County. 203-333-9422. Joining us right now is Matt Richtel, who knows a little bit about vision because he has studied and written about some of the most creative people in the world that have ever created things in the world. And from those studies, he's written a new book. It's called Inspired: Understanding Creativity, A Journey Through Art, Science, and the Soul. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter. He has already written A Deadly Wandering, which is a New York Times bestseller, and that was expanded into a nonfiction book based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning reporting he did for a series of articles about distracted driving, driving while texting, and all of that. And now he's turned his brilliant mind and pen to a different subject altogether. Matt Richtel, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. Hello. Hello.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi. I am very, very well. I'm energized. I don't know if you...
I'm hearing it.
You hear it? Well, what happened
I
is...
I hear it. I feel it.
You feel it. I was reading about Glen Cove. I mean, Glen Cove. Who knows about Glen Cove? Nobody. And Glen Cove, as a city, decided to rehabilitate this polluted creek and spend lots and lots of money and figure out a lot of political know-how. And they built this ferry terminal, and they're going to be instituting the first ferry service from Long Island Sound to Manhattan. And I want to do that in Connecticut, and I don't understand why we're not.
Well, let me say something, Lisa. I am based on the West Coast.
Okay.
So when you're talking about traffic and commuting in Connecticut, I got nothing. I'll use my imagination. Let me give you some ideas. Okay, I'm going to go with giant balloon.
Okay.
I got giant balloon for you. I got mind flying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And then I've got
chitty chitty
and then
bang
I
bang.
Like your idea third.
No, chitty chitty bang bang. You want your car to sprout wings every single time I'm in traffic on any Merritt or 95. I'm like, please, please, Dick Van Dyke, Sally Ann Howe, please let me just sprout wings and just I can fly to Manhattan.
Can I tell you something interesting scientifically that you're actually doing right now? You're actually doing something that's backed up by science.
Which is
not,
what?
Not the idea, but the process.
Oh.
So I started this book in Jerusalem because I wanted to see where creativity started. And I thought, you know, because a lot of people say, oh, Jerusalem, that's where creation started. So I went there. And what I learned about Jerusalem was, and I'm going to tie this right back to Lisa Wexler and Connecticut's commuting, so just work with me.
Okay, I'm working.
That Jerusalem had a population of 500,000. It turned out that all these hubs of creativity over time, Jerusalem, Rome, Florence, Harlem, go down your list where you've had all this, they had big populations. What's interesting about what you're doing right now, Lisa, backed up by science, is using technology, you are getting callers like the last one. You are drawing in information and sharing information. This is a highly creative approach that is backed up by the science of history. It's not one person coming up with an idea. It's a whole bunch of people sharing ideas.
Yes, that's exactly right.
You might actually come up with it.
Well, you know, I think it's a why not? Why not?
Why not you?
Right? Yeah.
Right. And you want to know another piece, a bit of science to back up Lisa Wexler?
Go ahead.
It's the Lisa Wexler Show.
Oh,
I'm going to back you up.
There it is.
Einstein. I'm gonna compare you to Einstein. Here we go.
That's a reach, but okay, Matt. Go ahead.
Einstein. Well, just hear me out. Einstein says to this colleague, he goes, "Hey, I figured out that elusive unified field theory, this thing he spent his life trying to figure out, and his colleague listens to it, takes in the theory, and says, that's interesting, Albert, but under that theory, the universe can't exist. And what we know about very creative people is that it's quantity over quality. Yes, Einstein came up with unbelievable things. Yes, Picasso, unbelievable things. But you know what people who create have in common the most is a willingness to try ideas on, risk. And a lot of them fail. But if they weren't, if you knew they were going to work in the first place, they wouldn't be creative. So when you start throwing out all these ideas, not including the balloon thing I came up with, they're part of the process.
Yeah, they are. They are. You know, yeah, they definitely are. And as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, wasn't it Edison who famously said when he finally got the light bulb to work that he had not 990 failures, but he learned 990 ways that it couldn't be done? And that was a very different spin.
And that's right. And he also referred to there's been studies of how many tiny developments and creations led to him being able to come up with the light bulb in the first place. So for all those people out there who are saying, you know, I'm not really doing anything creative because I'm not famous or rich or nobody knows it, you are all contributing. I mean, this book is about the innate creativity in all of us that winds up contributing. Here's the bad news about this book, Lisa.
Go ahead.
It's actually a book about hope, and I know nobody wants hope right now.
What are you talking about? If you're looking for good news, this is not your book. I love hope. Let me tell you something. My Aunt Gloria is going to be 97 in a couple of months, God willing, as we say, and she's still in her own home and drives. And, you know, she's one of these amazing human beings, like Angela Lansbury, who's getting the Tony at 96. You know, there are these people that just run the way they run, and nothing gets them down. And she always said to me, Matt, Jews live on hope. Every time I see my Aunt Gloria, she goes, you know, Jews live on hope. And I think people live on hope. We have to have hope.
I actually think we could use a lot more of a bit of a reframing about the world we're in right now. It's a very, very creative place where a lot of good things are happening. And the current framing that is popular about the world is we're going to hell in a handbasket. But we have perpetually created our way out of a lot of situations as a species. And again, I'm going to say it's in all of us, and there's a bunch of science in this book that tells people how to tap it.
So let me talk to you about this, because one of the people you talk about and talk with in your book is Rhiannon Giddens. Who is Rhiannon Giddens? That is not, I would say, a name that most people know, and I don't know the name. So tell me how I missed that.
And I didn't know the name either. So, you know, I talked to a lot of people, famous people. But when I went to look for a really interesting creator to describe what creativity is, I went with Rhiannon Giddens as someone whose story I tell in this book. She grew up in the South. She is kind of a true American story, white on one half, slave roots on the other half, lived in urban areas, really was really bright and went to scholarships at really good schools, has a voice of an angel. And what's interesting, and she was groomed to be a pop star.
Okay.
And one day she was on the Country Music Awards in, oh, I don't know, let's call it 2015 because I can't remember. Is that okay if I can't remember and made that up?
It's fine with me. Yeah, it's good with me. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So, and she's being groomed to be like the next X. And her voice is incredible, and she's singing up there and realizes, and she's with this huge country music star, and they blow the doors off the place, and she starts to realize, I don't want to be somebody else's version of me. And she winds up going and basically dropping off the highly commercial version of music and grinding out her own path And for those people who know her, she is like a cult figure who has who is appearing all over the place. I'd urge people to go look up Rhiannon Giddens. But the interesting thing about her is she chose her own voice over the commercial path that others would have created for her. And she is very happy now as a result. And she is no small success, even though many people have not heard of her. But that's not what determines whether someone's creative or not. Mm. It's not about whether you have fame or fortune. I want to tell you a quick story to that end. You've clearly heard of U2, right?
Yeah, of course. Yes.
And Bono?
Bono.
So early in this book, I'm playing basketball with my son, and I say, hey, Milo, he was 11 at the time, I'm going to interview Bono. He goes,
who?
Bono? Never heard of him. He goes,
right.
Is that a him or a her?
Right.
And
right.
He wasn't making a gender statement. His point was, hey, everyone, the point of that story is he'd never heard of Bono. People's time passes. It's not about fame or fortune. It's about creativity.
Matt, you want to stay on with me? We're chatting with Matt Richtel. The book is Inspired.
Well, I got about 7 more minutes. You want to do that?
Yeah, but what I want to do is put this on the we'll come right back. We'll do a very quick 30-second. We'll come right back. We're with Matt Richtel.
Let's do it.
Okay, yep.
It's time for you to have a say. 203-333-9422. Now, back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
We're talking with Matt Richtel, who won the Pulitzer Prize for an astonishingly beautiful series of stories on distracted driving. And his newest book is called Inspired: Understanding Creativity, A Journey Through Art, Science, and the Soul. I love that you say "and the soul," Matt. Tell me about the soul.
Yeah. This isn't precisely a self-help book, but I did want to understand the value of creation and how it makes people feel. And what I discovered is that it makes people happy to create. And there's this, Lisa, you know what Hollywood makes you think, like creators are wrenching people sitting in a basement curled up in the fetal position?
Yes.
Okay, so you want to know my theory on that? I got no science for this, but I'll give you my theory.
Go ahead.
Okay, I think that's Hollywood writers writing their own sob stories and then making geniuses out of those people so they can feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
That is based on nothing except conjecture.
Wow.
But here's what the science will bear out. The creative process is quite thrilling. Now, it's hard to get to because it involves giving yourself permission to play outside the rule system, and there's a whole bunch of science to explain why that is in the book. But if you can get past that, you're a freer person. And the science, there is real science to show that people who allow themselves to be creative, and here I'm talking about in the big sense, policy ideas, startups, music, art, cooking, they feel less burdened. They feel they're sharing of themselves with the world. They feel they're leaving a legacy. These are things that make people happy. These are things that nourish the soul.
Did you discuss, Matt, did you think about the relationship between taking drugs and creativity for some people and whether or not they feel a little bit like they're cheating or that they need those drugs for their creativity?
I did. You know, I went to the mountaintop on this, Lisa. I interviewed Carlos Santana.
Okay.
And if you can find someone who's more equipped to talk about drugs and creativity, you got to tell me who it is.
I was thinking Paul McCartney, because he used to admit that he did a lot of pot when he was doing some of his songs. I think that's what he used to say. But anyway, so tell me about Carlos
Santana told me, and then I'm going to give you some science to back it up. He said that it felt to him at times like a shortcut to get into a flow state, but that actually meditation was better. And that for a long period of time, he stopped smoking weed and meditated, and it was a more effective way to get into a more authentic state. And the science will show that there really isn't a relationship between drugs and creativity. Again, it's it's too much science to go into, and anybody who wants to tap into their creativity, it's in this book. But there are better ways to get there. And drugs have all kinds of side effects, and they don't necessarily enhance the creative process. There may be a placebo effect, but I don't believe that it is real and universal.
Interesting. I have a very dear friend, David Friedman, who's a brilliant composer. And I'm always asking him about how to describe the creative process, because he also does the thought exchange. He does all these philosophical, beautiful, meditative things. And he never takes responsibility for the creation that he does. He just says he's allowing himself to be open to it. That's the best he can describe it. But he doesn't
think
it's him.
I think he's darn right, but he does get, if he doesn't want responsibility, he gets credit, because that's not necessarily an easy thing to do. The research shows that, you know, again, going back to that Hollywood description that I think is wrong, they talk about the genius IQ, at least insofar as it's a measure of intellect. You don't have to have a high IQ to be creative, according to very clear studies. What you do have to do is marry whatever intelligence you have with a willingness to contemplate a broader perspective. So the thing that you really don't want, and where your friend David gets credit, is you don't want to have such a rigid worldview that you don't allow other perspectives in. We live in a super interesting time in this respect, Lisa. The amount of information coming at people can have two competing effects. For some, it can cause people to get very rigid because it's scary. There's a lot out there, and people might get very rigid and say, this is my belief system. I don't want to consider anything else. It's too much information. But for others, all this information is the lifeblood of new creations. That's where the hope lies.
You know, that is so interesting. That is really fascinating, because in my own marriage, it's so interesting, because I can see that dynamic playing out with my husband and myself. We have a different dynamic about the flood of information. I can see that sometimes it makes my husband nervous, that he has to shut down a little bit, and then he reopens, then he gets creative again. But it dampens him a little bit. And for me, I'm the opposite. I like it. I embrace it. It's different. It's different. That is really interesting.
So, you know, it's a really interesting possibility that what's happening in this country even, and in the world, is that as change happens quickly and there is more information, it causes some people to feel very frightened and to want things to either go back to the way they were or feel more rigid, and others are in energized by this. And that's a tension that actually may be playing out through the lens of creativity. Creativity means change and disruption. And for those who find that terrifying, it could be very comforting to keep things as they are.
Yeah. Well, especially, as you said, it's always disruptive by its very nature, but also it seems to come a lot of times with a lot of foreboding and negative messaging, right? So, you know, we've got to make a change because the world is coming to an end if we don't make a change. We've got to make, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Sorry for interrupting, Lisa. You inspired me to think of this. Some scholars just came out with a paper where they wrote that what's an interesting conundrum here is sometimes when you most need change, meaning things are troubling or you need to solve a particular problem, it can be hardest to adopt change because it's more comfortable to stay where you are. The unknown is even scarier than the problematic situation you have in front of you.
Right, right. And it is very often accompanied by these terribly dire warnings. And so it's very tempting.
We need balloons to ferry people.
Exactly. And that's it. And I know you've got to run to the next thing.
That's the whole thing, Lisa.
And that's the whole thing. But I'm going to get a ferry system going in Fairfield County. You wait. You watch. I'll put all the politicians on the carpet, so to speak. And I will say a flying carpet. And I'll say, how about it? How about it? Let's do something. I mean, because I can't see why we shouldn't be doing it already, frankly. I mean, I've read all these idiot studies, and they're all wrong. They all have the wrong suppositions. They don't have the vision. They're all wrong.
You're the vision lady.
That's it. That's it. Well, anyway, Matt Rictel.
You're taking sides in your marriage, I'm in.
Thank you very much. Oh, that's an offer I might not refuse, but I do love my husband. We're married 40 years. How long are you married?
We're up there, too.
You're up there a day and a half?
I got a good one. My wife is spectacular.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you.
I hit the jackpot,
yeah.
Lisa.
Oh,
I'd be dead by the side of the road, covered in, like, top ramen.
Oh, I'm happy for you. That's a beautiful thing. That's the best thing of all. Matt Rictel, I wish you lived in New York because then we'd have lunch. I love your book.
We'd have lunch.
I love talking with you, inspired. I'll be looking for your byline in the New York Times all the time, and I still subscribe to the print version as well as the online.
You go, girl.
I go both ways, exactly. Thank you, Matt Rictel. Thanks for being on the show.
Lisa.
Inspired.
Okay, bye.
We've got a couple more minutes till the end of the hour. That was a lot of fun. We'll be right back.